Do you still teach remote viewing?
I'm trying to retire, but I've gotten good reviews, and people keep asking me to do it. So it's a lot of, it's not hard to learn remote viewing, but it's hard to teach it because you have a responsibility to sort of provide enough energy to get the person to quickly do something that he previously thought's impossible. So if somebody invites me to give a talk about remote viewing, I'm always happy to do that. But I just today I got an invitation to go to Sardinia off the coast of Italy, where I like to do a week-long workshop teaching remote viewing in the summertime. Well, that sounds like a pretty cool thing to do. It's lots of fun. I'll probably go. But I've been telling people that I've retired from teaching remote viewing. So the answer is, I'm not really teaching remote viewing unless you make me a sensation, unless you make me an offer I can't refuse.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about your book again. Give the name again for our people.
The Reality of ESP, A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Abilities.
Now, in your book, you deal with psychic ability, and you also get into spiritual healing, which we kind of touched on a little bit on why you did that. Tell me a little bit more about that. I'm in a situation where I'm very similar.
What
happened to you in the 90s? And tell me how the spiritual healing works.
I call it a physicist's proof of psychic ability. It's very hard to prove anything. But now after 40 years since we began remote viewing, as amazing as that seems. So after 40 years, the scientific and statistical evidence for remote viewing is enormously convincing. For example, one of the things I talk about in my book is the evidence for ESP is 10 times greater statistically than the evidence that an aspirin prevents a heart attack. So the National Institutes in Health stopped the aspirin experiments because they felt it was unfair to hold out the aspirin from the control group because it was so the evidence was so strong that aspirin prevents heart attacks. And, of course, everybody is now taking an aspirin. But the evidence for ESP is 10 times greater than that. So what I'm saying is it's now statistically unreasonable to deny the existence of psychic ability. It's statistically proven to the extent that anything in science can ever be proven. So you wanted to ask something about the healing side now.
Yeah, I want to know about the healing. I mean, should I put all my eggs in the basket? The spiritual healing can work, or...
I mean, the evidence for spiritual healing is very good. My daughter, Elizabeth Targ, was a psychiatrist in San Francisco, and Elizabeth had more permission to be psychic than anybody. As a child, she grew up, and we expected her to be intelligent, polite, and psychic, the three things we expected from our little girl. And she became a psychiatrist, Stanford-trained, and one of her first formal experiments as a clinician was to see if experienced spiritual healers around the country could help her AIDS patients. And that was San Francisco in the 90s, so she had lots of AIDS patients in her service. And she had created 30 controls and 30 people who were going to receive spiritual healing. And the people who were doing the healing were very experienced. All of her 20 healers had more than 10 years experience as a healer. And in her group, there was a huge difference in the outcome between the prayed-for people and the controls. Her 30 prayed-for men had fewer opportunistic illnesses, fewer trips to the hospital, fewer days in the hospital, better psychological response, and better all-around health. So even though during the experiment it was double blind, she had no idea she had no idea which people were in the prayed for group or how it, or and the subjects didn't know whether they were being prayed for. So the double blind experiment, neither the researcher nor the subjects knew if they were prayed for. But it was a very significant experiment, and she published that in the Western Medical Journal, and the NIH had now spent millions of dollars trying to replicate her experiments. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, depending on how you do it.
I do a talk show.
For example, if you have a medical problem, I would say, yes, find a healer to send you healing energy and find somebody who is really experienced at doing that. Because some of the NIH has been sort of captured by fundamentalist researchers who said, yes, we want to investigate psychic healing, and I'm going to have the congregation of my church do the healing. And I tried very, very hard to have them not do that, but rather have them do healing with people who actually knew how to do it. And what happened is there was a big million-dollar study where this fellow at Duke University had his congregation pray for some sick people, and they didn't get better. And the reason for that is, if you want people to get better, you should have experienced healers sending them energy rather than your haphazard congregation who doesn't know anything about healing and has no idea how to quiet their mind.
Okay, as you know, I do a talk show and ratings are important, so I got to ask you this. After talking very scientifically, and you're a scientific person, I got to know about remote viewing and sexual experiences. It seems to me that...
I knew you were going to say that. You want to know about sex on the astral plane.
Yeah, I want to know.
Well, Aleister Crowley wrote about that a lot in his autobiography. And they continue them from remote viewing to out-of-body experiences. And in our lab, we never invited anybody to separate their consciousness from their body because we didn't want to have an experience where some subject, some Stanford student, will go to our management and say, Tarek separated my consciousness from my body and I can't get into, I'm disintegrated ever since he did that. That would be the end of the program. But in working with experienced people, like Ingo or Hella Hammond, who is one of our experienced people, they could learn to bring with them emotionality or sensitivity or sexuality, if that was appropriate, to the distant place. So you can indeed have an interaction emotionally, sexually, or in a healing way with a distant person. And this is best done with consenting adults. But this can be done. There's a big literature on it. Ingo wrote a book called Psychic Sexuality. I've had this experience. In fact, everything I'm describing here, I've done. So I'm teaching only things that I've experienced because that's how I can teach it. But sex on the astral plane is not for sissies, because you might, once you surrender your protection and go out into the wild psychic world, you might indeed frighten yourself. So if you read Ingo's Psychic Sexuality or Aleister Crowley's writing about astral sex, you'll probably be convinced that it exists. But it's not for the timid.
We're going to have to leave it there, Russell. The name of the book again is?
The name of the book is The Reality of ESP, A Physicist's Proof of Psychic Abilities, and we even have a chapter showing you how to do it.
Now do you have any final words or thought or retrospect about Ingo?
Well, Ingo taught us how to quiet our mind and separate the psychic signal from the mental noise. The most important thing that Ingo taught us is to give up your desire for naming and grasping and guessing. You want to describe the images that show up in his awareness. And Ingo was really the creator of remote viewing as we know it now. There would not be a remote viewing activity in America if Ingo hadn't started it.
Some people say Ingo Swann is going to report back from what's happening on the other side.
I wouldn't be surprised. The evidence that we can talk about that on another show. The evidence of survival is quite convincing.
We'll have to talk about that again, Russell, soon. Thanks very much for being on.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I'm Russell Targ, quite a man. From magician to laser expert to scientific genius.